Please be seated. I invite you now to take your Bibles once again and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel and chapter 6 of Matthew. We are in a series on the Lord's Prayer, which comes to us in the middle of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Here in Matthew chapter 6, he gives some instruction, some warning and encouragement about prayer, and then he goes on and gives this model prayer, which is to be prayed using these very words, but it's also to be a guide, teaching us how to pray to our Father in heaven. As you're turning there, I want to mention that Jesus did not just teach us with his words about prayer, but he practiced prayer. I'm going to read a brief part of John 17 here in a minute, but that's often called Jesus' high priestly prayer, and he is there demonstrating that he practiced what he preached. He was a man of prayer himself, and if you look at Luke's account of the Lord's Prayer, it's a little bit shorter in Luke, but Luke 11, I think, what prompts the disciples to ask Jesus to teach them to pray, I believe, is Jesus praying himself there. It says Jesus was praying, and the disciples come and ask him, Lord, teach us to pray. So we need to learn not only from Jesus' words teaching us how to pray, but also by looking to him as one who prayed himself. Going to look at the first petition of the Lord's Prayer together tonight. Hallowed be your name. There is an outline in the bulletin if you'd like to use that. I'm going to begin reading at verse 7 of Matthew 6, and I'll read down to verse 13, and then I'll also have a brief reading from John 17. But let's give our attention now to the Word of God. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Keep your finger there in Matthew 6, and then turn forward, if you would like, to John 17. I just want to read the first six verses of John 17 as Jesus prays to his Father as he's preparing to go to the cross. And I want you to listen carefully for how Jesus mentions the name of God. God's name and making it known and also glorifying his Father. John 17, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. And then look at the very last verse of this chapter as Jesus concludes his prayer, verse 26. Once again, he says, I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Well, let's turn our attention to God and ask for his prayer as we hear his word together. Father in heaven, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for these words from Jesus, his prayer to you and his instructions teaching us to pray. Lord, make us eager students. Let us sit at the feet of Jesus. Let us learn to put our faith in you as our Father, coming to you as children in prayer. And we pray that you would hallow your name even now as we consider how we are to pray that way. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You've all likely seen examples of when a prominent figure's good name is brought into question. Accusations arise that challenge and damage that good name and cause an uproar. And when a good name is lost, it's hard to be regained. And so we value and guard our names. They are important to us. They are how we are known. They are our reputation. Proverbs 22 verse 1 says, "A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches." Well, God is also concerned for his good name. And what we see here in Matthew 6 is that Jesus, the Son of God, cared deeply about the name of his Father as well. He wanted it to be rightly known and reverenced and glorified. And so he taught us to pray for the honor and glory of God's name. He taught us to ask God to hallow his name, to set it apart as holy before anything else. This was at the top of his priorities. This was at the top of his prayer. And in this first petition, "Hallowed be your name," Jesus calls you. He calls us to cherish and to revere the name and the reputation of our Father, to pray and to live for it above all else. And so, brothers and sisters, Jesus calls you tonight to seek the glory of God's name above all else. Seek the glory of God's name above all else. Seek to hallow your Father's name. Pray for this. Long for this. Live for this. Seek the glory of God's name above all else. Well, I want us to consider just two points together to that end. I want us to consider the petition and then the position. And then we'll finish with some more application at the end. And so, first of all, let's consider the petition. Look again with me at verse 9. "Pray then like this, our Father in heaven." We looked at that last time. That's often called the preface, how we address God, our Father in heaven. "Hallowed be your name." It's important to understand first that this is a petition. This is a request. We're not making a statement here that God's name is hallowed. We are asking for something from someone in authority. In this case, we're asking God to hallow his name. But what does that mean? Let's make sure we understand what we're asking for here. One hang-up people can have with utilizing the Lord's Prayer is the language of the prayer. How many of you in this last week, in casual conversation, use the word hallow? It's not a common word. It's not a word that we use very often in our speech. And then even in the version that's well known and that we would use here in the mornings, we say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." It can sound even more old-fashioned and archaic. But I hope we'll see what this means and why Jesus uses these words. And I hope that we'll see together tonight that this is actually one of the most relevant prayers, one of the most relevant petitions we could possibly make. This is not just a quaint saying a quaint prayer of past generations. This is not just a nice way to start our prayers. By placing this petition in his model prayer and first, at the top, Jesus is teaching us that this is one of, if not the most pressing and urgent needs and prayers every day and every age. Hallowed be your name, for God's name to be hallowed. And if that's the case, we should know what this means, what we're asking for here. And so I want us to talk first about the word name. Why not just Father, may you be hallowed? Well, as we've already said, names are significant. A name stands for a person. It sets them apart. It's how they're known and recognized. And names are especially important in the Bible. The theme of God's name and its value and honor is a common theme that's everywhere in Scripture. God often does things for the sake of his name. Prayers that we might find in the Bible often include asking God to act for the sake of his name. The right use of God's name also made it into the Ten Commandments. The third commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And so what's so important, what's so significant about God's name? What is meant by referring to his name? Well, God's name is really God himself. God's name is God himself. It is his reputation. It is his revelation of who he is through all that he's done and all that he has said. God wants to be known according to his name, according to who he really is. And so when the Bible speaks of God's name, it's a way of referring to God, who he is and how he's known, his public reputation. God is the only God, and he is the highest good, and so it's no surprise, and it's no vain wish for him to want to be known and rightly known, and to want to have a good name, to be zealous for his name, to want his name to be hallowed. After all, he is the great, awesome, good, and holy God who brought this world into existence, who is the only God, who is the only creator and redeemer. And so we ask him to hallow his name. Now, to hallow something means to make it holy. In fact, those words share the same root. For something to be hallowed is for it to be holy. That is, for it to be set apart, sacred. And of course, God is holy. He is holy, holy, holy. And holy may be used to describe God in the Bible more than anything else. To be holy is to be set apart from all that is evil and sinful and false and wrong. To be holy is to be set apart ontologically as well, of a different character, of a different nature, completely other, unique in power and glory and purity. One writer said, holiness refers to everything that distinguishes the Creator from his creation. It is the infinite distance between his deity and our humanity. Holiness is the very godness of God, the sum total of all his glorious perfections. And so to hallow his name means for God to be seen and known and revered as holy, as utterly pure and powerful and glorious, set apart. Now God already is hallowed. God already is holy in himself. He couldn't be more hallowed in one sense. There's nothing outside of God that could add to his holiness. And so why pray this? What are we asking for here? Well, this is asking the Father not to make himself more holy. He is already completely, infinitely holy. But this is asking the Father to make himself known as holy, to reveal his holiness, to make known his true name, his true nature. We're asking for him that he would let us see his holiness and know him as holy and live in light of that. This petition asks God to be cherished and revered for who he really is, according to his name, according to his true character and nature. Now think about how you might listen up if you overhear your name or maybe a loved one's name in a conversation that you are not in. If you hear that name, you listen up and you want to know what's being said about that name. You want to hear if it's the truth. You want to hear if that name is being referenced with honor and accuracy. You want respect for that name. That name is special. It's set apart. It's significant. Well, God's name is the greatest name. It is the most precious and glorious name. It is the name above all names. And it is holy and awesome. And this prayer is reminding us of that. It's focusing our gaze right at the beginning of prayer. It's focusing our affection. It's focusing our longing on him and his name, asking that his name would be known and loved and cherished because it is worthy of it, because of who he really is and all that he has done. Hallowed be your name. It's a massive, paradigm-shifting petition in and of itself. And we could just stop and ponder the holy name of God and ask him to hallow it. But I want us to move on tonight, after having considered the petition and some of the meaning of this, to consider second tonight, the position. The position. Now, this may be obvious, but look again at the text, verse 9. Right after Jesus opens with, "Our Father in heaven," this is the very first request of the Lord's Prayer. Take note of the position of these short words. Kids, you should be able to see this. They are first. They're right at the top. Right at the beginning. And that's not arbitrary. That's not, well, the prayer had to start somewhere. It is because this is the most basic, foundational prayer of all. This petition is positioned first because it's what God is all about. This is what life is all about. This is what you and I are to be all about. And Jesus positions this first because the honor and glory and reverence of God's holy name is first. And so don't miss this, brothers and sisters, that this is the first petition. It comes before all the others. Jesus is teaching us here. He's teaching his disciples to be God-centered. That God and his honor and glory comes first. That this is his and our chief end. This is more important than our daily bread. This is more important than our struggle with sin, than our comfort and our good. In fact, our good finds its source in the holy name of God. And really, all the other petitions that follow this flow from it and are based on this one great first petition. And so think about it. God's name is hallowed when his kingdom comes. His name is hallowed when his will is done. He is honored and set apart when he forgives our sins. His name is hallowed when he delivers us from evil. God's name comes first. God's name comes before ours, and yet so often we have it in the reverse. And I think so often we pray with ourselves first. So often we live and pray, "Hallowed be my name, our name. Hallowed be my family, my business, my church, my country." Jesus says, no, hallowed be his name. Father, hallowed be your name. As we sang a few minutes ago in Psalm 115, verse 1, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. Do you remember what John the Baptist said? He must increase, I must decrease. And yet we so often live life upside down, don't we? We put ourselves first. We focus on ourselves and our name, our reputation, our needs, our comfort. Now, we most certainly do have real needs and real value, and God wants to hear those, and He will. We'll get there. But Jesus would have us start at the start with God. He would have us live with a singular focus on the honor of our Father in heaven. Everything else is downstream of that. This reminds us that life is not about my fulfillment, my dreams, my comfort, my name, my reputation. It's ultimately about God. About God being hallowed. About the greatness and glory of our Father's name. After all, that is why God brought this world into existence and sent Jesus Christ as the only Savior. And really, life lived for the self. Life lived for our own passing name doesn't work. It doesn't deliver. It is not fulfilling. It doesn't bring peace and happiness. It is not life as it was meant to be. We need a fixed point to aim at in this life of sin and sorrow and brokenness. We need an ultimate true purpose, a chief end, as the Catechism puts it. Well, here it is. God and His glory, knowing and honoring His holy name above all else. And so, people of God, understand this petition and the vast significance of it. And also, don't forget its position. This is first. Jesus puts this at the top, and so should we. And that leads us then to some further application tonight that I want us to consider in light of what we've seen, in light of this first petition. And the first is, brothers and sisters, make this your number one prayer. Make this your first prayer, your most pressing, repeated prayer. Father, hallowed be your name. Make it your top prayer, your top priority, the deepest plea of your heart. All of life should be lived under this. God, hallowed be your name. Here's your most basic driving principle and purpose. Every morning, hallowed be your name today, Father. In my life, in my family, in my church, in my community, in my world, in my workplace. This prayer should echo through all of life and all you do every day, even on the darkest days when you don't know what to pray and when you are hurting. Father, I don't know what you're doing. I do not know what you will do, but hallowed be your name. Put God first in prayer and in life. Father, hallow your name through my work. Hallowed be your name through my interactions with others, through this difficult task, through these classes, through this homework, during my doctor's visit, with this client. Father, hallowed be your name by giving me strength to do this or that, to repent of this sin. Hallowed be your name through this nasty cold I can't get over. Hallowed be your name with my cancer or my surgery. Brothers and sisters, make this your first prayer. And then second, people of God, children of God, cherish the name of God. Cherish the name of your Father. Revere and hallow your Father in heaven. Seek that which you pray for. In this petition, take His honor and worship seriously. Treat Him as set apart and holy. Seek to know Him more and more. The whole creation cries out, hallowed be His name. Seek to see His holy name on display in His world. Seek to see it on display in His word, His written word. Count God as precious. Know and love and worship Him with real reverence and honor. adore your Father and cultivate a growing affection for his name. Cherish and glorify your God's name. And then third, I think this petition calls us to remember who we are. Brothers and sisters, remember who you are. You bear his name. If you are in Jesus Christ, you have been baptized into the triune name of God. We are his people called by his name. The Bible calls us repeatedly saints. What does that mean? Hallowed ones. Holy ones, set apart. You've been set apart as God's holy people. You belong to him. You are his children. That's why you call him our Father. Remember who you are as saints, as God's children. You bear his name in this world. What does your life say about his name? Hallow his name by your lives and your witness, not just by living your way and for your name. And that leads us to a fourth and related point. This petition, if we're to pray this way, it also calls us, it calls you, and it calls me to be holy, to live holy lives ourselves. It calls us not just to know God is holy and to revere him with our minds, but with our lives. Look at what Jesus said in chapter 5, just before chapter 6 in Matthew, verse 48. You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be conformed to your Father in heaven. Be holy. God says in 1 Peter, be holy because I am holy. Now praise God, he has freely given us Christ's holiness, Christ's righteousness, because we are not perfect. We are not perfect and we are not holy. We fall far short. But he calls us to live out who we are in Christ. Not to earn our salvation by works, but because of our salvation by grace. He calls us to be holy in our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds, out of love and reverence and gratitude for the holy God, because his name is hallowed when we live by his grace holy lives, not being conformed to this world, but to him. It can be easy to say with our lips, hallowed be your name, but then our lives say something else. Jesus warned against mere lip service in Mark 7:7. He said, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You can intellectually assent to putting God first, to seeking to hallow his name. You can even pray this prayer regularly and then live a very different way. Not really mean it in your heart, and it will show in your life. And you say, hallowed be your name, but then you deny it with your attitude. Hallowed be your name, but then you deny it with your checkbook or your browsing history or your use of alcohol or your relationships or your schedule or your priorities, the way you talk, the way you treat your spouse or your siblings. Brothers and sisters, don't pray this prayer and then drag his name in the mud by your life and by your selfish decisions, turning your back on him and his word. Hallow your Father by living a holy life. You are not your own. You have been set apart. You belong to him. You've been bought with a price, and he calls you to hallow his name. Now praise the Lord that the holy God is in the business of making unholy people holy, making sinners saints by the blood and holiness and righteousness of Jesus. And all of us fall short. None of us live perfectly holy lives. We do not always hallow our Father's name as we should, not even remotely close. Only Jesus did. But if we acknowledge that, if we confess our sins and repent of our unholiness, he is faithful and just. He cleanses us. And yet our gracious Father doesn't just declare us holy and then say, now go do whatever you want. Now you're in. He doesn't wait till heaven to make us holy. He declares us holy now in Jesus Christ, but then he begins to make us holy now in this life. Not by our own strength, but by his grace. Not completely in this life, but really and increasingly to the honor of his holy name as a display of his power and his grace. And so, brothers and sisters, pray this and seek to live holy lives so that your Father might be hallowed. And that leads to a final point tonight, and that is thank God. Praise God for his holiness. Thank your Father. Praise him for his great hallowed name. Thank God that he, the holy God, the infinite creator, in mercy and grace with complete justice and goodness, saves unholy, sinful creatures. Somehow brings honor and glory to his name through his holy Son dying to save us and making us his children, letting us know and glorify and use and take on his holy name. In John chapter 12, as Jesus entered Jerusalem and he was going there to die for unholy people, he said this: "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And as he got even closer to that hour, to the cross, he poured out his heart to his Father again. In John 17, we read this, saying, "I have manifested your name to those you gave me out of this world. I have made known your name, and I will continue to make it known." Jesus came to make known the name and the glory of God through his life and his death and his resurrection, through the gospel that he accomplished to save unholy people like all of us in this room, so that we might know and love and praise and hallow God's holy name. That God, that name, brothers and sisters, is worthy of this prayer, is worthy of this first petition. That name is worthy of all praise and thanks and glory. And so, brothers and sisters, children of God, seek the glory, the hallowing, the honoring of your Father's name above all else. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do ask that your name would be hallowed. Not our names, not to us, O God, but your name give glory. May you be known as the awesome, good, gracious, holy God that you truly are, and may you be honored and loved and worshiped. Father, hallowed be your name by our lives, by our worship, by this body of believers, by everything we do and say in this week ahead. Hallowed be your name for all eternity. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, because he perfectly hallowed your name and made it known and glorified you even on the cross. It's in his name we pray. Amen.